If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We take you now live, well, not live, but live enough to the funeral of the matriarch of the Kennedy family, Ethel Kennedy, which is RIP. I'm friends with members of the family, and RIP, Ethel passed away. She was, it was a ripe old age, which is a change of pace for them. That is not something that they usually don't get up there. So the fact that she held on for as long as she did without having a plane go down or skiing into a tree is definitely a, you know, this is a good sign that maybe they are turning over a new leaf. Can I say that, perhaps? So we take you to the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle in Washington, D.C., the current president, Joe Biden, the former president, Barack Obama, and the former human trafficker, Bill Clinton, are all standing there to pay their respects to Ethel. That's not even controversial at this point that I'm calling Clinton that. And now there is a secret meeting that Obama and Biden are, it's not secret, it's out there in the open. And they are talking, and then people are trying to figure out what they are saying. You know, what is happening? The New York Post hired a lip reader, a professional lip reader, to figure out what Barack Obama and Joe Biden are talking about. Now, Biden is angry at Obama. Remember this, because Obama and Pelosi were the ones who kind of had to tell Biden, Joe, you're insane and you have to step down. And they threatened him with the 25th Amendment. They said Kamala will invoke the 25th Amendment against you because you are senile and you are unfit to run for president. Now, however, they didn't remove him from being the president. So just also think about that. The guy that they said is unfit to run for president is currently the president. Nobody has any issue with that, which makes it very obvious that he's not the president. Nobody's worried about his senility in any real sense because he's not, he wasn't removed from the presidency. He's sitting in the Oval Office, supposedly making decisions about America. We're supposed to believe that, that like somebody comes in to the Oval Office and sits down with Joe Biden and goes, hey, and they go through everything and they go, well, you know, Yahya Sinwar, Netanyahu, they said it maybe, and I don't know, Lebanon. And then Biden goes, okay, put a pin in that. Let's go with that. And he's running the show. But of course, we don't believe that. We don't know where Joe Biden is. We don't know where anyone is. Supposedly, Ghislaine Maxwell's in prison. We don't know that. We don't know that. Somebody knows that. We don't know that. I don't know where she is. Diddy's in prison. We don't know that. I'm sure he is, but I don't know. We'll take everybody's word for it that everybody's in prison and that he's running the country. I mean, but you do. without, I mean, I'm not trying to be like a crazy person, but you do just have to go, oh, okay, I guess justice is being done. And then you don't know. Do we know what kind of prison Maxwell's in, what she's doing, what's the day-to-day look like? Not really. But we imagine that she's in a prison and not on some secret CIA island somewhere, you know. So people are trying to figure out what Joe Biden is saying to Barack Obama, because Joe Biden clearly does not want Kamala to win. This is obvious. I like this thing he's doing where he's old, but he's showing he's got a little pep in his step. He's angry. He's being ornery. He's putting on Trump hats. He's smirking. He's showing you that he's still alive. I really like this. And I like his attitude now. He has this very kind of, he's become like an imp, Joe Biden. Like he's an old, and I like in his final form, before he goes to the great beyond, the idea that he's being a cut up, he's being a little bit of a problem. He's throwing on a Trump hat. He's smirking. He's starting kind of fun. He's verbally jousting with people at the rallies. He knows what was done to him. He has just enough left to know that he was put out to pasture. And whether you think it's right or not, or whether you think it's a good move or not, he knows what was done to him, and he knows who did it, and he knows why it was done. And he knows that it was done because the system that Joe Biden is a part of lost faith in him to carry out their edicts. The people that stand behind the power in America lost faith in Joe Biden's ability to sell their agenda to the country. He knows it is not a genuine concern for his health or the country or his decision-making ability. He understands the role he played, and he understands why they want him out. So you got to understand that. Joe Biden, even though he is old and infirmed and in and out of consciousness and has barely any idea where he is, he knows just enough to know why he was thrown out in favor of Kamala Harris. So here we have, and it's fascinating. Again, it's not political, really. This isn't about politics. This is why... this is a very tough time for intelligent people, because and thankfully there are so few. But it is a hard time for intelligent people because there are things I agree with Republicans on. There are things I agree with Democrats on. Maybe more at this point Republicans than Democrats. But it's not. I don't completely think the Democrats are wrong about everything. Certainly not the type of Democrats I grew up with that cared about the working class. What is happening in the country right now is not political. It's not about whose ideas are better. It's not about what tax rate is higher or not high. It is a raw power struggle. And whatever side of that you were on, you're not on any side of it because you're a citizen. You're sitting in your house. You're going to cast a ballot. You've never run the country. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings out there. I know many of you are surprised by this, maybe. You've never run the country. Your ideas are taken into consideration from time to time. That is the best you can say about nobody voted on immigration. Nobody voted on the Ukraine war. Nobody voted on these things. Did you vote about Syria, going into Syria? Did you vote on that? Did you vote on that? When they set up 19 intelligence agencies, did you vote on any of that? Do you know what any of them are? Do you know who runs them? Do you know what they do? You didn't vote on any of that. What's going on in the country right now is not political in the way that it doesn't mean that things don't have political aspects to them. It doesn't mean that there aren't policies that you agree with more than you disagree with or whatever. I'm trying to get you to think as an adult, which is very difficult, but I try every week. And I want you to zoom out. I want you to think of the country not as a group of people that are arguing about things and trying to persuade you of them. I want you to think of it as a group of crime families, warring crime families. And you will understand immediately, everything becomes clear immediately. It's if a switch was flipped and then overnight, you completely understand everything. If you read American history and, and you're reading all these great books by, David Halberstam and all these very smart Doris Kearns Goodwin, these really great historians that have written brilliantly about America, there is still a dimension of power that is left out. Something doesn't come into frame. Something is hinted at but never said. Something is, hanging over this whole picture. And that is the dimension of power that's largely invisible to people that are reading the boldface names. Clinton, Obama, Biden, Bush, Reagan, Trump, whatever. But there is an invisible dimension of power in America. There's an invisible dimension of power in every single country in the world. That's not a conspiracy. That's not a paranoid delusion or fantasy. That is the reality of what goes on. Meaning that many of the decisions that are made way above your head at 30,000 feet are being made by people you have never heard of, you did not elect, and people who are not concerned with you. So what makes this so interesting to me, and by the way, isn't it more fun? It's more interesting to actually see this play out. And it is. I believe that that dimension of power tried to assassinate Donald Trump in Pennsylvania by kind of pulling the goalie, as a friend of mine said, reducing the amount of Secret Service at the rally, not clearing the rooftops, and allowing somebody to climb on top of a roof and take a shot at the president of the United States. I cannot tell you who greenlit that, to use a Hollywood term. I cannot tell you who is responsible for that. I can only tell you it is my belief, because of the security failures that happened, that that was a dimension of power in this country trying to eliminate Trump. That doesn't mean I'm right. That doesn't mean that it couldn't have been a random kid with no internet history who didn't exist, who walked around a rally for an hour, who flew a drone, who climbed on a roof that was not slanted and took a shot at the president. And if the president didn't move his head for an inch, he would have been shot. Now, that doesn't mean that, who knows? So now we are finally here. That was the setup. I'm setting up what's going on. I want you to understand what's happening, because they're not, I know what you're thinking. Maybe they're talking about trade. Are they talking about Roe v. Wade? Are they talking about school lunch programs? Are they discussing? No. They are talking about crime. Now, because that's what politics is at their level. Even in this freeze frame, you can see Clinton is a little nervous about what they are saying, because Clinton's kind of going like, what's happening here? These are some of the most powerful people in the world. They know what's going on. They are doing the bidding of the invisible dimension of power. The military, the big corporations, the billionaires, you know, the intelligence agencies work for the people I just mentioned. The people that are extracting natural resources, the people that are running major global financial institutions, major tech companies. The intelligence agencies are the muscle for those people. And the intelligence agencies are also there to control the people in this video so that the billionaires and the elected officials are always in sync. Now, not for the first time, Kennedy was shot, Nixon was thrown out of office, Martin Luther King was killed, RFK was killed, many other people were killed. For the first time in the history that many people who watch this show or younger people are experiencing, the invisible dimension of power and the visible dimension of power are completely out of sync. They're out of whack. It's not working. Joe Biden was too old. He couldn't sell it. They yanked him. He's mad. On the other side, you have Trump, who is not really interested in working with the invisible dimension of power. Trump's going to do what Trump does. He might work with them when they have mutual aligning interests. So when you have a situation where you have the invisible dimension of power and the visible dimension of power completely out of step, you have conversations like this, which are basically people are kind of feeling each other out and trying to figure out what exactly is happening, because now it's almost to a point now where it's almost full Game of Thrones, where everyone has an agenda and everybody's out for themselves. So let's take a listen here to the appropriately creepy Halloween meeting between Joe Biden and Barack Obama, and let's try to figure out what they're saying, if anything. It's bad. Yeah, it's terrible. Obama says it's over. It's done. She's done. Biden goes, he's staring. Obama's going, she doesn't have it. She doesn't have it. Biden goes, can we shoot her? You know, if we shot her, like, I know they didn't shoot him, but we could shoot her potentially. And Obama goes, I don't think that's going to make a lot of sense. He goes, we've thought about that. I have thought about that. You know, Michelle brought that up the other night. Well, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Biden says. I mean, you know, and he goes, but listen, here's the reality. Then who comes in? So now they're just looking at Clinton to make sure he didn't hear that because they don't trust him. And he goes, isn't that beautiful? He points to the organ. He goes, the organ's beautiful. But that's really what it is, folks. They're just trying to figure out. They're trying to figure out what happens next if Donald Trump wins and then he starts looking into who shot him or he starts looking into what, you know, Russiagate or any of that. I think a lot of people are upset. Let me read a statement, by the way, that I'm legally obligated to read. The opinions I have about Joker 2 are opinions that are my own. They do not reflect Sony, Todd Phillips, Joaquin Phoenix, or Lady Gaga, all of whom I have the utmost respect for. It was amazing to be in Joker 2, thrilling and exciting. Joker 2 examines Arthur Fleck as a man, not so much as the Joker. It was a brilliant film. Thank you to everyone who supported this film. Kidding! It's a joke. But, by the way, very sad. R.I.P. Liam Payne. I don't know what happened. I don't want to make a joke about this. I don't know what happened. I don't want people going off in out of the window. This is One Direction. Right? But he had problems.
A few problems, yeah.
And then he went out of the window because of, you know, it's the social media. I'm telling you, it's the social media. If that guy can't be happy, what chance do the rest of us have? Truly. He's a good-looking gazillionaire in a boy band. If he cannot be happy, what are any... Now, thankfully, many of you don't live in buildings high enough to kill yourself from a window. And I'm not saying he did that. I don't know. But he had some issues with the girl, and it's very sad. But it just says to me, I go, wait a minute. If that guy cannot figure it out, we are fucked. We don't really have. By the way, Joker, too, not to beat a dead horse, literally, but the, what was it, the biggest second week drop of any film, something in the range of like 82%. Nobody has ever seen anything like this. Terrifier, with a couple of comedian friends of mine in it, is like doing better than Joker 2. The movie Terrifier is doing better than Joker 2. Maybe I should have been in that. Joker 2's historic second week box office drop. Wow. Bad. It opened with $37.8 million. It was disastrous, okay? So bad that Beetlejuice performed equally well on its sixth weekend in theaters. Wow. So Joker made just $7 million. $7 million. Rough. Rough. Doug Emhoff, our good friend Doug Emhoff here, is, again, Kamala Harris's husband, right? So Doug Emhoff is, he's at a Whataburger. Doug Emhoff is at a Whataburger. Can you imagine this, by the way? First of all, I have never seen, and I don't like judging people by their looks, I have never seen somebody whose face suggests they are more of a scumbag than this man. I mean, I have never in my life seen a human being whose physicality immediately suggests that they cut off old women in traffic, that they like steal, that they are like abhorrent in every single way, you know, cheating on the wife, you know, all the other stuff that he does, of course. But there's just something about, you know what it, you know what it is? It's the goofiness, how he presents. I'm goofy and I'm not to worry about. I'm non-threatening, but make no mistake. He is going through an elderly woman's purse. That is Doug Emhoff's face. He is stealing, even though he doesn't need to. He's a shoplifter. I can tell Doug Emhoff is shoplifting. There's something about him that is so you cringe, your skin crawls. And I don't know why, it's just that face, that clown-like face he has is hiding a real darkness. Doug Emhoff.
What I really do is watch this. I do a mix of two-thirds Diet Coke and one-third regular Coke, and it's just delicious.
I've been looking forward to this all day. You know Beto?
Hi, Beto O'Rourke. Nice to meet you.
These are the biggest losers in the world.
How's it going?
I mean, they Beto got the Dr. O'Rourke Pepper is the biggest shake. Loser in the
Dr.
world.
Dr. Pepper's
and then
very
the
Texas.
Other guy.
I'll do the number two combo. I definitely want some of that spicy ketchup. No pickles. Everything else.
Are you okay with the fries?
Like both?
Here's what's interesting, right? This is a whole genre now of outreach for campaigns. Politicians go to restaurants that are killing the public. Like politicians go like, and they're very happy and they're smiling. And for many people, Whataburger is a death factory. It is a death factory. They watch their mother or father on, you know, with blue feet at the end of their life, struggle to make it to the bathroom because they have eaten Whataburger. It's not, you know, we are the unhealthiest country in the world and our food system is poisoned. These are the people, by the way, who should be calling that out. They should be calling out the fact that people are eating this garbage, okay? Like RFK, to his credit, okay? Bear in the road notwithstanding. Instead, Doug Emhoff, the con artist husband of Kamala Harris, and Beto O'Rourke are showing up, and they all do this, by the way. I'm not saying that. I think Trump did it at Chick-fil-A or something. They are all going to these poison factories, like smiling and happy and here's what I do. I mix this with that. I want some of that spicy ketchup. And this is all predicated on the idea that, like, Americans go to these places to have a treat. Oh, Whataburger's a treat. No. Whataburger is dinner for people that don't have money, that have, like, four or five children. And they eat it three times a week. And it's incredibly unhealthy. And instead of pressuring these companies to adopt better standards for the type of ingredients that go into their food, they are showing up at these places and basically saying, isn't this great? Isn't this amazing that we're all here at Whataburger or wherever? And they're stopping in to, because people like it, by the way. They've done polls. They've done, like, if Beto O'Rourke and Doug Emhoff went into, like, a farmer's market, everyone would call them faggots. But people like the idea that they're showing up and eating, like, fried, greasy food. And somehow this makes him qualified to live in the White House because he went to Whataburger. It's like a really weird genre that's been around forever. And you would think, as people got smarter and understood, you know, I mean, why not go to the Marlboro factory and start lighting up? Like, this is poison. Everybody knows it. There's nobody that doesn't know this anymore, and they show up and they're gleeful and they're excited about eating at this place that is killing their fellow citizens. Let's watch the rest of this.
We are hungry. Thank you. You can feel the energy. You can feel the enthusiasm. I'm feeling it here in Texas. We're all hustling. I want to thank our friend Beto. Talking about also voter registration, no matter what obstacles are being thrown in front of you, don't let them do it. Get out and register. Exercise your right to vote. This is the essence of our country. It's the essence of our democracy.
I told the second gentleman. Imagine standing in Whataburger and talking about voting and saying it's the essence of our country. Like, imagine the person that is swayed by that, like the person that sees that and goes, you know what? I thought Doug Emhoff was a demon from hell. However, now seeing him in Whataburger, and first of all, who takes off the pickles? What are you, five? What are you, a five-year-old? Why are you taking off the pickles? What are you, 10? You don't do subs when you're an adult. Do you hear me? I want you to hear me now loud and clear. You do not sub things out as an adult. You do not leave out the pickles. You do not leave out onions. You're a fucking adult. Eat it the way it comes. Eat it the way that it comes. He's making them work extra hard. This scumbag, Doug Emhoff, pure scum, a philandering scumbag, is walking into Whataburger and making some poor Mexican in the back leave out the pickles on his order. Eat the pickles, you scumbag. Pickles are good. They make it better. I mean, and Beto O'Rourke, any of these people, they are all losers. They've lost every time. The guy running against Ted Cruz, the all-red guy, is kind of almost winning. We don't know. Beto O'Rourke has run for president a bunch. He's a loser. Doug Emhoff is, you know. And I mean, can we go to, so go to Alex Edelman's Instagram, because he, and I like Alex, but go to Alex Edelman's Instagram. He had dinner with Doug Emhoff and some other guy. And
he posted about it?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Is there a video of that?
Yeah, we can pull up the video too.
Yeah, get the video of Doug. Is that Doug Emhoff's home that he pretends to share with Kamala?
Let's see. Here we go.
Leave the pickles on, scum.
Here's the video. Here we go.
We want to ask you some nice Jewish boy questions.
I'm ready.
Okay, this is for the endorsement of all of nice Jewish boys everywhere.
Three Yiddish words.
Define them or use them in a sentence. Verklempt, vertutzt,
and spilkes.
Spilkes.
For Klempt is like my mom every day.
What does it say about our religion or our, like, being Jewish that there are so many words in Yiddish for various types of things?
I use word chutzpah a lot.
Chutzpah.
I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Chutzpah.
He has too much chutzpah, I think.
Spilkas is like, it's like,
yeah, it's like a stomach man.
Yeah.
Do you ever get spilkas when you're giving a speech?
Can I ask a question, folks? Can I just ask, who is this for? No, I mean, I'm genuinely asking a question here. Who is this targeted to? What is the aim of this? What is the aim? Doug Emhoff defining Schvilkas? What are we doing? What is the point of this? Every Jewish person I know is voting for Trump because of Israel, and I know the highest end Jews in LA and a few high end Jews in New York. And I don't know all of the high-end Jews. Obviously, I don't, okay? But I know Barry Weiss, okay? And a lot of people, and I don't know what she's doing or who she's voting for or if she even votes, but I do know that a lot of high-end Jewish people are voting for Trump, and they're doing it secretly and quietly, and they're kind of closeted about it. But this Doug Emhoff goon define terms in Yiddish? Like, what is this? What is this for? Like, you know, there's a great line from For Your Consideration, a Christopher Guest movie, where Ricky Gervais is talking about, and he goes, tone down the Jewishness. Like, I'm just saying, if I was running for something as a gay person, would I invite people to my home and go, define poppers, define fucking, you know what I mean? Like, cum shot, define. I would just go, hey man, I don't know if this is exactly the outreach that we need. Why don't we tone it down and let's talk about things that we can all get behind here and not be defining it. Like, did someone in the campaign go, quick, we're not doing great in the swing states. What if Doug Emhoff defined Yiddish terms? What if that, could we do that? Could we get Doug Emhoff defining Yiddish terms to reach out to swing state people? How do we get working class whites? Well, what if Doug Emhoff told them what verklempt meant? I mean, I just don't understand. It is better than him in Whataburger. I'd rather see him, and are they eating Chinese food? Is that what they're doing? Are they eating Chinese food? Are they eating? Can we go back to what they're eating? Yep. Are they eating Chinese food? Are they doing that?
I think being a lawyer for so long, nobody wants to hire.
Is this what they're doing?
Best Jewish dish.
I think they're just doing Q&A.
There's no food. There's got to be food. Go to the picture. What is that?
It looks like bao buns and maybe some Chinese food and Jewish stuff mixed in.
Close up on the food. What is that?
AI-generated food?
Is that real food? Why does he have that drink? What is that drink? Close up on that. Is that orange juice?
No, it's like pear-colored. It's like peach.
What is going on here? Is that real food? I think they AI'd the food in. Something is weird with that food in their hands. It doesn't look real. What is Emhoff eating? He's eating something you can't find anywhere on the table.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
$100 using their mobile app. What's the racist candle? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of the racism out there, to be honest. It bothers me. Bath and Body Works accused of selling racist candle. Let's see this. Let's watch this.
Bath and Body Works has stopped selling one of its winter-themed candles because of a backlash that the design somehow resembles Ku Klux Klan hoods. Take a look. The move came after some people online
that is said a little snowflake that design is a bit of the candle clannish.
Resembled the hoods worn by Klan's members. Bath and Body Works says the design was unintentional and they apologize to anyone who was offended by it. The candle has been pulled from the store's website.
I want it now. Now I want it. Because now it's a collector's item. If you have the Bath and Body Works KKK candle, now you have a collector's item. A Florida love story. A woman suffocates boyfriend in suitcase during hide and seek. Interesting. Florida continues to thrive despite many problems with the weather. Florida is still thriving, and so are its citizens. Horrifying video shows boyfriend trapped in suitcase begging, "I can't breathe," while killer girlfriend films him. I gotta be honest with you out there. The people don't seem well. Am I alone in this? The people, the actual people, don't seem well. And this is why the politicians don't care. Because they're going, well, they're just killing each other. They're suffocating each other in suitcases. So what are we going to do? We're going to get Whataburger to stop putting sugar in the barbecue sauce? They're suffocating each other in suitcases. Disturbing cell phone footage showed a Florida woman accused of fatally suffocating her boyfriend in a suitcase, giggling as he pled for help while trapped in the luggage. God, Sarah Boone, 46, was arrested in February. This is a while ago, 2020, after telling police she'd passed out after zipping Jorge Torres, 42, inside the bag during a booze-filled game of hide-and-seek at their home in Winter Park, Florida. However, footage from her phone shows him thrashing around in the suitcase, telling her, "I can't fucking breathe," as she yells back at him. Do we have the video?
Yeah, I mean, we can't show it. We'd have to, like,
why can't we show it?
Because the guy dies.
Okay, but we show Doug Emhoff and Whataburger. There's no way that this is more disturbing than Doug Emhoff in Whataburger.
We can show it and we can blur it.
Torres repeatedly called out for Boone and she replied through laughter, "For everything you've done to me, fuck you, stupid." This is crazy. Let's see her. Can we blur it out?
Yes, yeah, that's what we'll do.
Okay, so then play it for me. I just...
Yeah, of course. Here you go.
What's the Daily Mail here?
Let's see.
Crazy. Warning! This video shows Doug Emhoff eating AI-generated food.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
Stupid.
Sarah.
Crazy.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
She's hammered.
Sarah. I can't breathe, babe. Seriously.
Yeah, that's when you do when you choke me.
Sarah.
They probably didn't have a great relationship, you know?
Sarah.
Up to this point. I would imagine it wasn't ideal. Why would he get into a suitcase? They were playing hide and go seek. What happened to her? Is she in jail?
Yeah, she, I think, got sentenced to
life,
second degree murder. So at least 25 years in jail. Yeah.
Wow.
She goes on later in the video to say, "This is what it's like when you cheat on me." So,
yeah. Well, this is why it's so important, in my estimation, to not play child games like hide-and-go-seek. It's a stupid game. If you're dating somebody and they say, "Why don't we play hide-and-go-seek?" you say, "No, I'm not doing that." Because it's a very easy way for someone to suffocate you in a such an interesting life to just kill your boy. I mean, obviously, I'm saying this is I'm against it, but I'm saying what a weird way to just. That's her thing now. She's going to tell everybody in jail, like, I suffocated my boyfriend by locking him in a, by trapping him or whatever in a suitcase. And he begged me to let him out, and I didn't. And I just, and he just, you know, what a Halloween episode. But by the way, it's still somehow not as disturbing as Doug Emhoff eating fake food that's not real. Barron Trump shows golden personality at dinner. Barron Trump starting to come into his own, having a lot of fun. Seems like a fun guy. Who would ever eat dinner food with a silver spoon? Mine was gold. Fun. Okay. Interesting.
It was just like a private dinner, but him speaking is kind of becoming more of a thing now that he's in college.
He's now going to NYU, and he's out there. It's an interesting, you know, trajectory. Does he go into politics? Is it a Trump dynasty? I don't know. I don't know. The big guy has it. Do the rest of them have it? I don't know if the rest of them have it. I don't think the rest of them have it. I don't know. Maybe Barron does. I have no idea. But I think it's really it's a Don game. It's a Trump game. And I don't know if the rest of those. And you got to remember, America doesn't love dynasties. We kind of get tired of them. That's where Trump came from. We were very tired of the word Bush and the word Clinton. So I don't know. He's a bit young. Where's Melania been? Is she around? What's going on?
She just released a...
Oh, she released a book. Yeah. Have you read her book? Are people reading her book? Should I read her book? My book is coming, by the way. Stop with that. Just hassling me all the time. You'll get it. You'll get the book. Or you won't. But you're going to get it. What's the problem? I ghost wrote Melania's book for her first, and now my book will be coming out, but it's not... Oh, Emily in Paris fans are upset that Rome is dirtier and more crowded than By the way, can you imagine being an Emily in Paris fan? What is the show Emily in Paris about? It's about a woman who goes to... My friend goes, my father loves Emily in Paris. I go, I had no idea your dad was gay. Congrats. There's no way... Can we play like a trailer for Emily in Paris?
We can play a few, the season one trailer just to get an idea of what it is.
Just to see what it is. I've never... This show is a huge show. It clobbered me in the top 10. I want to know... Because everybody loves it. I don't get it. What is it about? Is it about Doug Emhoff's ex-wife who he cheated on?
So here's the synopsis real quick.
Yeah, please.
After landing her dream job in Paris, Chicago marketing exec Emily Cooper embraces her adventurous new
life. Wow.
While juggling work, friends, and romance.
And now people are mad that...
So in Italy, they are filming, I guess, the new season there, and people are saying that... There's not enough homeless, and then they're also sort of like... sterilizing Italy, and that there's more sort of vulgarity and people are more passionate when they argue in public, and this show is making them seem like they're not.
Yeah, but that's the point. This is how dumb people are. The point of entertainment is to lie to you, dummy. I don't understand. What do you think? They're going to have boats of migrants crashing on the beach? Netflix spent a lot of money on this, okay? What do you think they're going to have? Georgia Maloney screaming about the migrants? It's a fantasy. No one from Chicago who works in marketing gets to go to Paris and have a great life. This isn't the way it is. People that work in Chicago in marketing get a gun to the back of their head when they walk out of Bloomingdale's. That's not the way this goes. This is a fantasy. I don't understand the law. Everybody wants everything to be relentless. You are going to crave fantasy in the next 10 to 20, 50 years. You are going to pray for it. You are going to need it. You are going to ask for it. You are going to want to remember a time when things were not as bad as they are. Let this bitch enjoy Rome without pickpockets and thieves. And of course they're sanitizing it. That's the entire point. What do you think it is? It's going to be in an hour about the migrant crisis and grooming gangs? Let's play the trailer here for Emily in Paris, season one.
Emily Cooper?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
This is also not Paris. No one has a burqa. You know, it's not. This everyone's white. I'm telling you, most people she's going to meet are white. Let's see if I'm right. Let's go. Where is the Algerians? Okay, one black chick.
Teach the French some American tricks.
Has anyone noticed this is a very dysfunctional workplace?
I think you're the one bringing the
drama. One black one. You got that something that I This is Paris so from 1997, by the way. And that's what they're marketing. They're marketing the idea that you go to Europe and it's glamorous and sexy and you have this amazing life. And that's not the case, by the way. It's not the case. I love Europe. I've been multiple times, but it is a place with many different aspects to it. Some are positive, some are not. But Americans who are sitting on their couch in Wherever'sville want to watch something about Emily going to Paris and having this sexy, romantic, idyllic, picturesque time, ditto Rome or wherever else. They would, if they do Emily in Paris, by the way, in Tel Aviv, they're not going to show anything. Do you understand that? No matter where this show goes, you're not getting the real flavor of the place. Emily in Paris is not going to be a show about the like socio-political dynamics of the area. It's going to be a show where an attractive woman goes out and falls in and out of love with people and has silly, goofy, fun times with friends. And it doesn't matter where it's shot. They could shoot it in Darfur. They would ignore all of it. They would ignore it. It would be in Tel Aviv. You would see her at the beach. What they showed wasn't the real Rome, said Cristiana Cavallo, a hairdresser. They made Rome to be too clean. There were no crowds. Paris was more real. The show has long come under criticism for depicting Paris as a city with little litter or construction and no homeless people. It's a fantasy. People pay for Netflix. They pay. They walk through a city that has been abandoned to junkies and homeless people. They climb into their beds at night and they want to watch this show. They don't want to see homeless people on television. They see enough of them in real life. Can it ever end? Can you imagine watching Emily in Paris? Whoever is doing that, a lot of people, millions of people, and you're watching her get chased down an alley by three homeless guys, and you go, I just got chased down an alley by three homeless guys. Is there no escapism left? It has been credited with increasing trade and lighting up the phones of estate agents in Paris. It has also attracted legions of tourists, with one study finding that 38% of tourists cited the show among their reasons for visiting the city. Well, I'm happy that it is working out for Paris. But anybody, or Rome, or whatever they're talking about, but anybody who is demanding realism from these shows is going to, you do not want to show any city right now in its current condition. You do not. You do not want to show people getting punched in the face. You don't want to show an elderly woman getting robbed. Is that how Emily in Paris should open up? With an elderly woman getting punched in the face and someone grabbing her baguette and running down the street and the elderly woman going, God damn fucking migrants. And then it cuts to Emily just sitting there eating a salad going, I wonder if he likes me. That's not, folks, stop craving your lives to be mirrored back to you. That's the opposite of what entertainment is. I get it. You want authenticity, and I can understand that to a degree. From a show called Emily in Paris, you want authenticity? You want the real? You want arguments about Gaza during Emily in Paris? You want her to be on a date with a guy and him going, you know, I just watched an airstrike where people were burned alive in a hospital. No, you don't. You want them to have a cutesy little dessert, a souffle, a pot de creme, and you want them to get lost in each other's eyes because it's a fucking show. Not everything can be about genocide and hell. If you want that, come here. I do it every week. You want to hear about migrants and homeless people, Emily in Paris fans? Ta-da! We're here for you. We are here for your viewing pleasure every week Otherwise, let these dumb shows be dumb. Escape. Understand the value of escapism a little bit. You don't have to constantly see every social ill. You don't have to witness social decay on every show. It doesn't have to be real. It shouldn't be real. Real is depressing. Real is trouble. It's nice to have something that's completely divorced from the concerns that you have as a citizen of whatever country or somebody who lives in a city. You know, it's so funny to me that people are craving, they're craving this idea that everything, like people are going, well, why aren't they showing the real Paris or the real Rome? You've ruined it. You've ruined these cities. You've destroyed all of these cities. We don't want to watch your destruction. We don't want to watch the nightmare that you've brought upon yourself. We're trying to watch something else. This is an aspirational show. Emily in Paris is about somebody who goes, oh, Chicago's so humdrum. I want to live in Paris and live my real life. It's aspirational. You don't want her getting mugged. You don't want her getting sold into sex slavery. The point is, it is an aspirational show. These are the same people, by the way, that demand that Emily in Paris is real, but don't demand the government is real. They don't demand that. They don't demand that the news be real. They don't demand that the media be real. They don't demand that. They demand that Emily in Paris is real. That's where they draw the line. They draw the line at the depiction of the Rome in Emily in Paris. I want to see more homeless people in Emily in Paris. How about what you wanting to see less on the street where you live? That makes sense. Keep that passion for getting rid of homeless people on the actual street and not demanding that there's more. There should be more homeless in this show. It's just an accepted part of our society now that we're just going to be wandering through the third world is a hellscape everywhere. So instead of trying to get rid of that, think of how fucked the conditioning is. Think of how brilliant the conditioning is. Instead of demanding that we get rid of the problems in the cities, we are now going, why are the television shows not showcasing the problems? Because they are not realistic. We have completely given up on the idea of trying to figure out how to have safe, orderly cities. Instead of that, we're going, why aren't they showing the litter, the crime, and the problems? What a strange psychological turn that we've all taken here. Instead of going like, huh, what happened to Rome? Why did we do this? Instead of doing that, we're going, why aren't we showing people getting attacked? Why aren't we showing garbage? Because that's what it's really like. That's what it's really like. Well, change it.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Advertisement. Let's go back to that video of Obama and Joe Biden. The funeral of Ethel Kennedy, the matriarch of the Kennedy family. Obama, Biden, Ethel Kennedy. I really am trying to key in here. Trying to key in to see what music. No, it's done. Damn it. We can't kill them all, Joe. We can't kill them all. Yeah, I know. I know we can't. But hold on. What if we just killed her? Yeah, that is interesting. We spoke about that the other night. Would you do it, Joe? I'd love to do it. I'd love to give her a hot shot, a hot dose. Get rid of her once and for all. After I get out of here, they're going to poke around in the Ukraine. They go, who knows? What you're going to see over the next few months is very interesting. You know, I don't know that we've been at this point before in the country. I think we have. But again, not with the internet, not with every single thing being recorded, not with every single thing on camera. Not with the ability of people to go out and say things and put them on the internet before they can be censored and scrubbed. When we were in this position before, we had a mainstream media that was owned and operated by the Central Intelligence Agency and, you know, mega corporations. Now we have the internet. So what makes this a very interesting, exciting, terrifying, weird time is that we have this breakdown, the system that's breaking down in front of our eyes, and we now have all of these different platforms to analyze it and to question it, and that we never had before. So we never had the ability to question the narratives before. We've always been fed a narrative, and whether you agreed with it or not, whether it made sense or not, you had to just swallow it and go, okay, it's for the best. So it is really going to be interesting to see what happens, because we have an all-out gang war amongst some of the most powerful people in the country. It's not a hot war right now, it's a cold war, but someone took a shot at Trump. Someone is doing these things. Someone is out there. Someone's leaking Epstein stuff, you know? Is Diddy going to talk? Who's going to talk? You know, someone is doing these things. There are wheels in motion here. And you are seeing for the first time people that have sat on the throne be called into question. People like Bill Clinton, who's enjoyed immunity for all the crimes he's committed for decades, is now, you know, people are talking about him on the Epstein's plane, on the island, this, that. People are talking about Biden. People, I mean, they've been talking about Trump. You know, the validity of that is anyone's, you know, guess. A lot of it seems to not be valid. But all of this stuff is out there now in a way that it has never been before in all of American history. It has been, you used to have to go to a library and hunt and search and find all of this stuff. And you used to have to put the dots together and you'd have to connect the dots. You'd have to tell people, you know, I think it was actually like this. And they would go, yeah, really? And now everything is out in the open. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows something is deeply wrong. You can feel it. You can feel it in the body language. You can feel it in the way that they talk to each other. Something is deeply wrong. And which way it goes right now is anybody's guess. Nobody knows the people behind the scenes, what they're doing, what they're willing to do, what these people know and what they don't know, the course of history. We don't know any of it. All we know is that Emily in Paris should have more homeless people because it needs to be more real. You are going to crave Emily in Paris. Whenever this pops off, whatever's going to pop up, who knows, you are going to want Emily in Paris. Trust me. All you are going to hear outside of your window is explosions, and hopefully you have a soundproof window, or hopefully at least, you know, you can shut your window because it hasn't been smashed in, and you're going to sit there and you're going to watch Emily in Paris while outside burns. So make sure that you value Emily in Paris. You don't want it to be too real. You want it to be something nice so you can drift off to sleep while watching Emily in Paris. But these will be, the next several weeks will probably be some of the most eventful in human history. Or they won't. We don't know. But it seems to look like something is deeply, deeply wrong here. And they know it. And the question is, what are they going to do about it? Good luck.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.